Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Father, before you begin your homily,
yes,
should we congratulate the newlyweds?
Yes. Where are they? Oh, there they are.
Woo-hoo.
All right, Jake and Ladina.
Yeah.
Come up. So come up here. Come up here so that people can see.
Look, you get embarrassed on the day after.
So Jake, this is, may I present to you Jake, the new Mr. and Mrs. Jacob and Ladina Metelka.
Yeah.
So, yes. Freshly married yesterday. And look, they're faithful Catholics coming to Sunday Mass the day after their wedding, even when there's no obligation to, right? So love it. The Lord is smiling down upon you. And how long did the party last night? Oh, look at that, dedication, noon mass. So that's great. They had a band out there, it was fun. So a beautiful wedding and a wonderful reception. Despite this whole pandemic thing, they pulled it off. So pretty awesome. It was a delight to be a part of it. So I do want to do a State of the Parish address for 2020, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity to preach a little bit on today's timely and fitting gospel, because boy, there's a lot of unforgiveness going on around these days in our country, isn't there? There's a lot of this attitude of this unmerciful servant that we see here choking his fellow servant that we heard about in the gospel. So there's lots of sin and injustice on one side, but at the same time, there's a lot of unwillingness to forgive one another, which is so necessary in this world. Right? Because we're never going to be perfect. There's always going to be sin until the consummation of this world because of our fallen human condition that needs to be healed in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, with his sharing his life with us in the sacramental life of the church, gives us the grace to be able to forgive, but that utopia that we so desire doesn't happen until we are definitively with him in the kingdom of heaven. And so mercy is very much needed in our world, and yet we're so unwilling to give it, even though divine mercy has been given to us and that eternal debt paid for us. But because a lot of the world doesn't know this mercy, this incredible experience of just having a new beginning and the freedom that God gives us, they are reluctant to show mercy to others because they haven't experienced it themselves. Thus the need for the gospel. But you know, that's the inevitable plight of a society that is increasingly rejecting God and the commandments, right? They miss out on mercy. But for the gospel to go beyond our walls of our church, it has to first be practiced in our own life, in the lives of those who make up the body of Christ. We can't expect forgiveness and mercy out in the world if we aren't willing to practice it in our own lives, right? If Jake and Ladina aren't practicing it in their marriage, they can't expect it to ripple outside of their household. So it begins with us. So do you have someone in your mind right now that we are having difficulty forgiving? That's the central question of today's readings. Forgiveness, it's the bedrock of keeping unity in the family, in our community, and thus in our society at large. For sure, the sins and injustice that we commit, that's what divides us from one another. But what perpetuates that disunity and division is the unwillingness to forgive, which is so essential for healing, right? So sin divides, unforgiveness perpetuates that division in the human family and from God. And so I just encourage you to, each of us, to prayerfully reflect upon whether or not I have any unforgiveness in my life, right? Maybe that injustice that we suffered, it's still raw. Maybe it's not so recent, but the wounds have yet to be healed, fully healed. Either way, the clarion call of today's gospel that it's time to forgive that person, right? As St. Vincent de Paul said, to pardon an injustice received is to heal the wound in your own heart. All right, let me repeat that. So it's so important, right? To pardon an injustice received is to heal the wound in your own heart. So right now, it doesn't matter whether or not that person even thinks he or she needs to be forgiven. What matters right now is allowing the Holy Spirit to heal and transform your hearts so that you can forgive from your heart as Jesus asks. And so in the silence of our hearts, I invite you to forgive that person you're having difficulty forgiving. You know, call to mind right now that person who has hurt you deeply. Jesus, betrayed and beaten by his own people, knows the depths of that kind of pain. And yet, nevertheless, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We don't trivialize the injustice we have suffered, but fully recognizing it, we nonetheless desire to forgive. So maybe close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that for this prayer of forgiveness. Picture that person. Say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I offer the hurt that this person has caused me, and I unite it with your suffering for the salvation of the world. Give me the grace to forgive. Lord, I desire to forgive this person. Give me your heart of forgiveness. I forgive this person. Help me to truly mean that and to want that. I forgive this person. Amen. Let's take that desire into the liturgy of the Eucharist, right, at which we receive Jesus himself, who makes all things possible. And when we do that, we're reminded of just how much we have been forgiven, that eternal debt that we could never repay. But our crucified Lord willingly paid it for us. And let's never take that for granted, so that it as it has been shown to us, we can be too generous as well in mercy. On to the state of the parish. I'm sorry for any non-parishioners who are visiting, but perhaps this annual address can give you some ideas for your own parish. You know, having had my first meeting with both our pastoral and finance councils for this new fiscal year, I thought this would be a good time to do the annual State of the Parish address for 2020. And the first thing I want to make loud and clear is how proud I am as your pastor of how our parishioners have really stepped up to the plate during this pandemic, not only to keep the parish going, but to really weather the storm as if one never didn't even happen, right? And thanks to you, the faithful parishioners of the Mother Church of Jackson, St. John Parish has proved to be pandemic proof. All right, we concluded the fiscal year ending June 30, 2020 by not only surviving, but allowing the difficult times to test our mettle and still come out strong, which unfortunately has not been the case for many parishes throughout the country. In fact, many dioceses across the country are looking at a total reorganization of how they do, with trying to answer and respond to this decline, massive decline in mass attendance, massive decline in vocations, so that the ordinations are not keeping up with the priests that are retiring, right? So how do we handle that? And we ourselves in the Diocese of Lansing have this committee called the Realigning Resources for Mission. I'm one of the members of that, and we're looking into how do we poise all our parishes in the Diocese of Lansing to be a parish that can fulfill the new evangelization and not just manage decline. Because if we're managing decline, we're just retreating. We retreat a little bit, but we never can retreat enough to regroup and reorganize so that we can mount a counteroffensive, right? That's the whole point, is to mount a counteroffensive, because it's the gates of hell that doesn't have a chance against the church of Christ and his church, right? It's not the other way around. It's just how do we participate in that victory in the battle that we fight now? And so that will take some realigning of our resources to mission. And until that diocesan committee kind of figures things out, we as a parish want to realign our resources for mission. So the commitment of the 400 plus families who give regularly through the Sunday offertory, even if when you weren't able to be here physically present at Holy Mass, you were still striving to follow the 541 model of stewardship. And so you have been the backbone of weathering this storm. And when you heard about the financial challenges that we faced in April and May, when there was the shutdown of churches, you responded by continuing to send in your donations, your Sunday offertory. And because you heard that we weren't getting enough, you made up for what normally came through the loose donations. Can't even find the word for those loose donations. So a silver lining during this whole COVID lockdown was that we were able to do something that we've always been wanting to do for a while, and that's to really invest in our online ministry. Through our online outreach, many of you were able to participate, keep in touch virtually, thanks to the new evangelization grant, which we got because the donor was convinced that because of the number of Sunday offertory pledges we had, that none of the grant would be simply sucked into operating expenses. Through that grant, we were able to invest in the photo and video equipment necessary to bring what we do here in the church, what we do at the parish center, and even what we do over there at the rectory, Father Brian and I with joining you for prayer, bringing that into your very own living rooms and homes. And so our online videos during lockdown were consistently getting hundreds of views. And many of you tuned into our daily masses, many more than what would have appeared in a normal daily mass, thanks to the behind-the-scenes coordination by our director of parish life, Shane Slough, who was here faithfully throughout the shutdown, day in and day out. So please thank her the next time you run into her. The coordinated efforts of our faith formation team created loads of online content and Zoom meetings and classes. Praying with the Padres and our summer seminarian, Riley O'Shea, that was a big hit for many of you, gathering together nightly to pray the rosary every night for 3 months straight, over 3 months straight, until the restrictions were eased and people could start coming back. So through our virtual Marian consecration, many of you experienced the consolation and strength that Mother Mary continues to give us through these tumultuous times. I can't tell you how many thank you notes that Father Brian and the staff and I received thanking us for that online presence and how it was their saving grace through the pandemic when they were locked up. So the Holy Spirit, we didn't know that it was going to have that kind of impact. The Holy Spirit really used it to keep spiritually nourishing God's people when they couldn't be here in person. And it wasn't just parishioners that were watching, right? We had people running into our online content from all around Michigan, occasionally even from other states and other countries. We would receive a message from them once in a while. In fact, we had our first Catholicism 101 in-person meeting this past Wednesday, and with Zoom options as well. So that makes it doubly convenient, right? But several of those people that showed up on that first Wednesday were there because they were surfing the internet and ran into us and now wanted to have the experience in person. We've had fallen away Catholics come back into the church because they heard the preaching online and the faith formation videos, saw them from the comfort of their own home, how much we offer here, and how the Holy Spirit is alive and well here at St. John. So having an online presence is really helping us with evangelization. So the big question now for many parishes, including our own, is will everyone come back? You know, while we have a strong core of 400 plus families, will the others that have become disengaged, maybe never even seeing that we offered videos, will they return? We've been publishing in the bulletin Sunday Mass attendance for each of our six Masses, and we're currently not reaching the 30% capacity limit in our six Masses, but we're coming close to that. Another sign is that, you know, last year for fiscal year 2019-20, 467 households turned in their Sunday offertory pledge. But right now for 2020-21, we're only at about 400. So that's a 14% drop of committed regular givers. And by the end of the month, before we publish the bulletin with the final list of committed regular givers for this fiscal year, we want to get back to that 467 number, because those are the core group of parish households who have been the backbone of keeping us going. You know, that would mean less than 70 people this week who regularly come to Mass here but haven't filled out your Sunday offertory pledge to simply do that this weekend or next. And we have the cards, the pledge cards, available at the end of the pews, so you could do that today and put it into the offertory. You know, we have 1,400 households registered at the parish, but that number really doesn't mean much, because simply registering doesn't tell us that who's actually coming to church. There's hundreds, I would say, that are registered, technically, but never come to Mass. And so by filling out that pledge card, even if this lockdown has really affected you, maybe you even lost your position or were furloughed, even putting $1 on that tells us that you are here and committed, right? And so please remember that God can be outdone in generosity. If we're willing to say, God, I'm going to trust, He will reward that. So like last year, should you find yourself needing the increased amount of what you gave from the prior year, you have my word that should you need that amount back, we'll give it to you. We'll return it to you so that there's no risk, right? It becomes a spiritual exercise of your trust in the Lord. No one has done that yet, thank goodness. But I've had reports of unexpected income increases after they trusted and committed to the 541 model of stewardship. So in order to continue the strong showing we had in that first half of 2020, we need more of our parishioners to return and to participate. And so please reach out to your fellow parishioners, tell them we miss them, invite them back. So we want our whole parish to be gathered once again at the table of the Lord. So here's more good news. Something tells me that while we may not get everybody back, we will nonetheless be stronger as a parish. So perhaps we're smaller, but we're definitely stronger. Right? That's the confidence this pastor has in our true believers here, like yourselves. Part of that, too, is that difficult times can make people stronger. Right? Yes, difficult times can be people's downfall. But for people with faith, it's those same difficult times that bring them closer to God, make them lean into His grace more, achieve an intimacy with God that would not have been had it not been for that struggle, as bad as it was. It's like a muscle brought beyond its own limits. After a time of healing, comes back stronger. And so difficult times for people with faith makes us spiritually stronger. And when our parishioners grow spiritually stronger, a big opportunity awaits, because that a hurting world needs us, right? As you can see, as the body of Christ, as you can see, the world around us is crying. There's so much anger, there's so much brokenness and despair around us. And when you don't have faith, these difficult times do become people's downfall. And you and I know that the answer to their search for meaning and purpose amidst all this chaos and division lies in the Prince of Peace, He who is the way, the truth, and the life. All right, as St. Augustine exclaimed, our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O Lord. And then the church's whole existence lies in being this bridge, the bridge by which people discover their eternal purpose and destiny. And so we fulfill our mission by living with joy and hope as a community of missionary disciples. And the world, and Jackson more specifically, needs that witness more than ever. So let's live that, being committed to one another as missionary disciples, so that people can not just hear, but see the gospel lived out. And just to let you know, we have I have a summary of these comments on the front page of this week's bulletin. But the rest of this week's bulletin, be sure to pick one up as you walk out. It's more detailed information about the state of the parish. A quick review of what you'll see inside. On page 2, you'll see the 541 Generosity Challenge update. Remember that 541 is the recommended breakout of our 10% tithe. 5% to Sunday offertory, 4% going to our local Catholic initiatives, such as our Catholic schools, and those yellow envelopes you see for our capital projects. And then 1% goes to the DSA. So if you haven't already turned in your DSA for 2020, the DSA envelopes are also at the end of the pew. In the middle of page 2, there's a Witness to Hope update and the 6 projects that we've accomplished to date. One of them being that beautiful parking lot right across the street that we hope to be able to use next weekend. So those are your Witness to Hope dollars at work. The lion's share of projects still lie ahead for Witness to Hope, so please continue to be faithful to your Witness to Hope pledge. And finally, on page, the third part of page 2, you'll see just a sampling of what's on our 10-year maintenance plan, our 10-year plan. Due to space, again, it's just a sampling of the big ticket items that are separate from the Witness to Hope projects, because they're not new projects per se, but essential to maintaining the functioning and the beauty of our current buildings and grounds. And in our capital projects fund, we only have $97,000. So you'll see, by looking at the nature of the projects in our 10-year plan, why we really need to replenish that. So that's why we need those yellow envelopes, and as well as whatever you decide to bequest in your will. I know I'm planning to put St. John on my will as well. On page 3, you'll find a summary of our parish income and expenses, and including our school. Page 4, you'll see the income and expenses of our St. John Cemetery, as well as the account balances of things like our school endowment, our capital projects fund, and our organ fund. And what has become even more important during these COVID times is online giving, right? Online giving for our Sunday offertory. Using online giving really helps with consistency and not forgetting our Sunday offertory. If you happen to be out of town for a weekend or staying home due to health risks of this pandemic, or there's a big snowstorm, sorry for saying the S word, snow. But today, Diane is out there in the tent to help you sign up for online giving. If that's something you never took the time to do simply because you never had anyone walk you through it, Diane is there at the tent after Mass. Please see her. So all that and more is in our special State of the Parish edition of the Sunday Bulletin. But on behalf of the entire parish, I am so appreciative of people stepping up and coming together for this strong showing through this pandemic. Let's continue to be agents of God's mercy, not only here but beyond, and agents of his good news in a world that so needs good news.